Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we are going to continue in our study. And I know there's several people here tonight that were not here last Wednesday night. I am not going to review, but for maybe about 2 minutes, just to catch everybody up where we were. And then we're just going to jump right back into things. We've been talking about the topic of separation. Now, folks, separation, I've said it over and over and over again, separation is not a badge that you put on and say, look at me, I'm a Christian. That has nothing to do with separation. Separation is what it takes to be as close to God as possible. So there are certain things, though, in our life that could keep us from being separated. Sin, unrighteousness, etc., etc., etc. And it's not just coming out of something that's bad or something that's wrong. It's being separated unto something that is God. So separation is a twofold thing. Remember in the book of Luke, it said, remember Lot's wife. She came out of Sodom, but she was looking back when she was in Zoar, back to Sodom. So she had come out, but she had not separated to God. She still wanted to go back to where she was from. We've talked about separation in vows, separation in friends, separation ecclesiastically, and on and on and on and on. Go online, go to the gbcmartinsburg.com, download them, and you can get them all. That's fine. Last week, we started talking about, the last 2 weeks, about separation and standards. Standards are not separation. Standards are the uniform that you wear, okay? And I used the illustration of I could wear a police officer's uniform, and I'm not a police officer, so if I go out there and do the job of a police officer in a police officer's uniform, guess what? I'm going to get caught. And Mrs. Moore that night saw on Channel 25 News and put it to my phone that somebody got picked up in Hagerstown for impersonating an officer, and she said, is this you? No, it was not. But it really was funny that it was the same night that I was talking about it. Actually, it was her, and she won't tell anybody. But and so our standards are our base, like a uniform. Brother Smith had his Marine uniform, and I showed you what the base uniform was. But you add to that, as you earn rank, as you earn medals and honor, you grow in that. But the standard uniform is the same for all, okay? Last week, we talked about the standard in dress, okay? We talked about the word nakedness. Nakedness meaning exposing the thigh, exposing the torso. We talked about that. And again, I'm going to make this statement over and over and over. You're welcome at the church, and I don't care who you are or how you dress, you come. That's just the way it's going to be. You say, I don't like that. Then there's other churches in town that'll have you, but and I'll have you too, but I'm not going to refuse anybody how they're dressed. But I will say this, if we're going to work in the Sunday school, work in the nursery, do God's work, sing on the platform, be on the platform, play instruments for church, I think it's only right in God's house to live by God's standards, His way, for His people. I think it's just logical. You say, well, you're too hard-headed. You're just starting to find out how hard-headed I am. But that's not being hard-headed. I think it's being right. I'm obligated to tell you what God's standard is. Whether you live it or not, let me show you something. It has nothing to do with my separation to God. It'll have everything to do with yours. And that uniform is who you represent. Last week we talked about in Genesis chapter 3, that God, when man sinned, he made himself aprons, but when God saw him, God made him a coat. There's a difference between an apron and a coat. One covers a whole lot more than the other, and I gave you illustration after illustration after illustration. And the reason it was bad, think through this for a second, I was talking with a preacher just this last week about this very topic. I said the same thing I said to you last week. Adam and Eve were the only two people on the face of the earth. Why did they need to cover up? Because it wasn't just a fleshly thing. Man lost his righteousness. And man has to stand before God righteous. Isaiah 66, verse number 10. Isaiah 55, verse number, 6. And then we went to other places in 2 Corinthians 5 and other places. So it's a matter of righteousness, not just a matter of sensualism. Okay? Now, tonight, Genesis chapter 3, look at verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the tree of the garden. Notice how they hid from God in his presence where they'd never hid before because they were able to fellowship with him. Verse number 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And we're going to stop there. God at creation made man. Now we're going somewhere, so stay with me. Give me about 4 or 5 minutes here, and then we'll jump into the lesson tonight. God made man first. Wasn't till later. We don't know how long. I don't know if it was days. I don't know if it was weeks. I don't know if it was months. I don't know if it's years. Let me say it this way. Does it really matter? Does it even really matter how long it was? But at one point in time, God looked down and said, man, it's not good for you to be alone. I'll make you and help me. And God took from man, made man go to sleep, which was not hard. He put him to sleep, opened up his chest, took a rib out, and formed Eve from man. And God said in Genesis chapter 2 that woman was made for man. Now, young people, look at me. Unmarried people, look at me. Notice that Adam didn't go to God saying, I need a wife. God came to Adam and said, you need somebody. Scriptural principle. If you'll get busy doing what God wants, God will bring the right person your way. When you go looking for something, it's probably not what you should be looking for. You get busy doing what God wants. You get busy doing God's work. God will bring the right person by. That's another sermon down the road. Now, for those of you that don't know, men and women are different. I know that's a shocking revelation to many of you, but God made them different. Notice that God didn't make another man. Thank God. Now, I promise you this. If you'd have left it up to Adam, just give me another fella to talk to. Say, why did God call him woman? Because when Adam looked up, he said, whoa, man. Now, wait a minute. He made her totally different. God did not make woman, listen to this statement. God did not make woman a lesser being. He made her a weaker being. Did you catch that? She is the weaker vessel. She is a different vessel. Say why? Because she was made for man, and that's why. Now listen to me for a second. Here's the thing. It was Adam's job to protect her. That's why she was weaker. Now listen to me very carefully. When man sinned, how far away from Eve was Adam when she took of that tree? Bible says that in verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband, what's the next word? With her. He was standing right next to her the whole time. He was not protecting her. The Bible didn't say that she gave it to him later. The Bible says, with her. He was right there. He failed to protect his wife. Now listen to me very carefully. Because of sin, the curse placed on man and woman has exaggerated, and I use that word appropriately, has exaggerated the differences between man and woman. Look with me in same chapter, verse number 16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Listen to me. God intended for a woman's emotions to be there and a little bit more sensitive than a man's, but listen to this, because of the fall of man, her emotions would now be more in control than before. Ladies are generally more led by emotion. Ladies, you don't want to hear a story, you want to experience the story. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You want to know what it feels like. You want to touch it. You want to hold it. You want to know what it smells like. You want to know everything about it. Us men, just kill it, shoot it, need it. Amen? We're happy with it. You ladies want to laugh, and then you want to cry, and then you want to be up, and then you want to be down, and you want your emotions to be involved in every aspect of that. By the way, that's not wrong, but it's exaggerated because of the fall of man. Now, listen to me very carefully. And I'm going to make some statements here. A woman's emotions are more unstable because of sin. Listen to this. Also, she will need to purposely submit to her husband because it does not come natural because of the fall of man. And that instability of a lady's life. And I'm not going to go into it in effort to be appropriate. But there's a regular timing to a lady's life that is instable, and it has become exaggerated because of the fall of man. Read it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Now, wait a minute. The Bible also says she ain't going to understand the man. Now, wait a minute. What happened to the man? Look at verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt thou return. God said to Adam that a man will have to fight hating work. He'll have to fight being lazy. Let's face it, fellas, and I'm looking at some of the hardest working men in the country. I believe that. But all of us, there's days you just don't want to do it, amen? You say, why? Sin. Now, God made your body to work. You know, and then we've got our newspapers printing that people are living better on welfare than they are at minimum wage. So you're better off taking welfare than you are working. Garbage. Garbage. Bible says that a man's going to sweat more because of his work. Bible says that the ground was cursed to remind him daily of the work that will be longer and harder. Did you ever get home from a long day's work, and as you pulled in the driveway, you thought, oh, I got to mow that grass. Like I did today, thinking, when am I going to get it done? But those weeds are there to remind me every day of all of my sin. Okay? Now, I don't care what society says, there's a difference between men and women. I don't care what the politicians say. I don't care what the world says, there is a difference between a man and a woman. I don't care what the governor of California says, that in the public schools in California, they're proposing a bill right now to take down the signs on the washrooms and let the kids go to the washrooms and the locker rooms of their choosing so as not to confuse the transgender children. In the state of California, before the state California board, right now is a law proposed that you can use any washroom no matter who's in it. Boy, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? People are trained to be sodomites. It does not come naturally in any other part of creation. By the way, God did not intend it for mankind either. That's not the sermon. Since God made men and women different, though, and since sin caused us to have to be clothed because we lost our righteousness and our righteous thinking, listen to this statement, there then must be a difference in how men and women dress. Did you catch that? I believe from the Bible teaches that at a quick glance we ought to be able to tell if it's a man or a woman. And I'll show you tonight. I am not angry. If you don't live this way, Brother Bush doesn't hate you. I didn't come to your house and see you, and I'm talking about you tonight. Okay? I've got two ladies in my house and two other men other than myself for the next couple days, and then it's just me and the dog. Amen? And I'm okay with that. I'm not worried about anybody else. I'm here to tell you what the Bible says, and that's what matters to me. Number one, God tells us specifically to be different in dress. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22. If you've been in church a long time, you've probably heard this verse, but not this way. Deuteronomy 22. By the way, you're going to think I'm going a direction I may not be going. Just hang in there. Deuteronomy chapter 22, look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord thy God." Now look at me. Who wrote the Bible? Did Moses write this or did God? Okay. So God put these words in there, not Moses. These are not Moses' words. These are God's words. And God said, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man." And he also said that a man should not put on a woman's garment. Notice that the word garment and clothing are used here. Okay? It's not talking about anything else but dress. Now, God says it's an abomination for a man to wear a woman's clothes as much as it's an abomination for a woman to wear a man's clothes. If I came to church tonight and I had a skirt and a blouse on and a necklace and earrings, it'd be the last time you came to this church. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't have stayed. You'd have walked out. And by the way, it's not going to happen. And there's no desire for it to happen, just so you know. But, fellas, they're selling men's fingernail polish. They're selling men's skirts nowadays. We laugh at it, but it's true. I hate to tell you, but about 5,000 years ago in the book of Deuteronomy, 4,000, back in the day of Moses, they were having troubles with women wearing men's clothes and men wearing women's clothes. It's nothing new. Everybody doing okay? Okay. I want you to notice a word here, abomination. Do you know what that word abomination means? The word abomination means disgusting. Do I hear a pizza? It means to hate or to loathe or to detest. God says for a man to wear a woman's clothes is disgusting. We ought to hate it. He does. And that we ought to exceedingly make it disgusting. By the way, if you ever saw a man in a dress, that is disgusting. But at the same time, it's just as wrong for a woman to put on man's clothes. In God's eyes, it's just as disgusting. And it doesn't matter what society has accepted. Okay? Now, turn to 1 John chapter 2. Say, well, Brother Bush, that's the Old Testament. That's the law. Nobody ever got saved by the law. That's Catholic teaching. That's denominational teaching. There was no such thing in the Old Testament as law saving anybody. People in the Old Testament got saved by looking ahead to Calvary. People in the New Testament get saved by looking back at Calvary. By faith, Abraham. He was before there ever was what you call the law. By faith, Noah. He was before the law. By faith, Adam. He was before the law. Guess what? That's not hyper-dispensationalism. People got saved by faith. They were looking ahead to Calvary as we look back at Calvary. That's the only difference. But for those of you that still don't believe that, 1 John chapter 2, look at verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the, what's the next word? Things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Look at me for a second. That means if we love the world, are we able to fellowship closely with God? No. So it's dealing with separation. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. Look at me. That's in direct relation to dress. Lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes. By the way, in our society, pride of life. Status symbol is by what tag is on the clothes you wear. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Those are all dealing with dress. It's not talking about if you hate the globe that you're spinning on. It's talking about the world's way of life. Okay? Look at verse, let's stop there for a moment. If we love God, we're going to follow him and not the lustful world. These verses talk about separation because if you love the world, you don't have fellowship with God. If you're like the world, you don't have close fellowship with God. That's what these verses are saying. Now, here we go. Number two. This is where we're going to separate the big boys. Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. Now, folks, we said this last week. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you're not supposed to be naked. Nakedness is exposing the thigh, exposing the chest, exposing the loins. That's scriptural what the definition of nakedness is. Okay, so it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you're supposed to keep yourself covered. Amen, Brother Bush. That's good. Exodus 28, verse number 42. The Bible says, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loins, even unto the thighs, they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons, when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die, shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Look at me. I'm going to blow some history right out of your brain for a moment. In Bible days, everybody didn't walk around in robes only. Plus years ago, God had them make breeches for the priests. Notice it said for Aaron and his sons, not Aaron's daughters, not Aaron's wife. The word breeches, look at me, I can help you better with this than you looking in your dictionaries there. The word breach means a gap. He even defines it, the gap from the loins through the thigh. Those pants were to cover the man's legs. It's where we get the term, the word breeches came into being in the English language in the 1800s here in America. It is the same word. Breeches, breeches. From breeches, we got the word pants. Okay? Now, breeches and pants were a man's garment. According to Scripture, that's what they were. You never find anything else mentioned as far as a woman and breeches, ever, in Scripture. Now, take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves. Listen to me, the word adorn means clothe. Okay? That women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm going to take about the next 8 or 10 minutes at most, and then I've got one more point that I want to hit, and we're done. I'll try to get you right out at 7 o'clock. The Bible says that a... 8 o'clock. Some of you were already exiting, weren't you? Forgot what night it was. I thought it was Sunday night. The word modest apparel, that little term, modest apparel, it is a Greek term. It is the word katastole, K-A-T-A-S-T-O-L-E. Ladies, you would hear the word stole in that. A stole is like a jacket or a sweater, okay? It's a wrap-around sweater. Katastole is a Greek term that means long, let-down, flowing, loose-fitting piece of clothing. God says that a woman is to dress in modest apparel. Katastole. That means her form is not to be seen. And I hate to tell you this, ladies, breeches don't hide the form. They accent it. Everybody doing okay? It sounds like God wanted her body covered for man's sake. Now, watch this. Say why? Because what's the rest of the verse? In modest apparel, with shamefacedness. Look at me. I was asking someone just recently. That word, shamefaced. It's a very interesting verse. The word shamefaced means quick to blush. Quick to blush. Let me ask you a question. America is losing women that know how to blush. We won't go there because of time, but the Bible talks in I believe it's in the book of Isaiah. It may be in the book of Jeremiah. I forget which book exactly. But it talks about thou hast a whore's forehead. Now don't get mad at me. If you study that, it means she does not blush because of what she does. The longer you live around wrong, the less you blush about wrong. The more you live around hardness, the harder you'll get. Everybody doing okay? Okay, hang in there. Women don't blush when they dress like men and walk around naked. I was very cautious last week, so I did not embarrass our ladies because I believe you're godly ladies. I think there were certain people that could really get upset if I got any more graphic than I did. And I was pushing the line last week as it was. Say why? Because I didn't want to embarrass godly people. Say why? Because what the world calls acceptable to wear down at a beach somewhere, we call it underwear. If I asked you ladies to come to church just wearing your underwear, you should be embarrassed, just so you know. But what makes it right to go to Hershey Park and take all your clothes off but your underwear and go swim in the public pool? I don't understand that. I'm just being honest with you. America has lost her ability to blush. it used to be that a man watched his mouth around a woman. Now men have to watch their ears around most women. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Used to be you never saw a woman smoke a cigarette or drink alcohol, and a man would not do it in her presence. Now they're bringing the men out to do it. Say why? Because they've lost their ability to blush. God said that a woman's dress is to cover her so that she's covered so much that she would blush if she was dressed the wrong way. That means this. That means cover it all. Now, ladies, stay with me. Some of you may blush. I'm not trying to be crude. I've tried every which way I know to think of how to describe this, and there's only one way to do it. So stay with me. If I asked one of you ladies to wear your skirt to where half of your backside was showing, you'd be upset with me, right? What makes it right for you to wear your top down that way? Showing the same amount. Now, I'm not trying to be crude. I want you to think like a man for a moment. That's hard. But there's no difference in a man's mind, just so you know. Say, well, I'm not showing everything up there, then why don't you do the same down there? Well, that's not right, Brother Bush. What makes it right any other place? God said, cover it up. By the way, fellas, it's no different for you. Everybody doing okay? Equal opportunity here, okay? I'm not just hitting the ladies. By the way, that means you ought to keep your shoulders covered. Because if you're not, guys are getting a look at things they shouldn't look at. Okay? And I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm trying to protect you. You're looking at a strong man that's willing to protect you. I'm not willing to let you get hurt. And I've watched too many people get hurt. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Really get mad at me on this one, okay? Get it out of your system. I can tell you the direction of a church by watching their dress standards. When they start loosening the dress standards, they've changed direction elsewhere and their fellowship with God has changed. If the dress code gets stricter, good. If they back it off, guess what? They've backed off in other areas too. You can put that in your Pharisaical pipe and smoke it for all I care. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. There was a man who worked on staff while I worked on staff. He traveled the country with our tour groups. He started a church in a different state. I won't even tell you the state. He was one of the leading young preachers in America. He now pastors a church outside of a large city. It's called People's Church. They now play rock music. He and his wife perform rock concerts at their church, singing the new styles. Everybody doing okay? In his opening to his church, we're not a traditional church in the sense of what you would think of as church. Then I want nothing to do with you. I know him personally. I know him well. First thing he changed was his standards. His standards revealed who he was answering to. Everybody doing okay? And because they don't have the authority with God, they back off the dress standards because they don't have his authority. So you watch the skirts shorten. You watch the tops get tighter and lower. You watch the skirts get tighter. Everybody doing okay? I don't have anybody in mind. I've been preaching this for a long time. Those two people sitting right back there can tell you. I've been preaching for well over 33 years. And I've been preaching this way for a long time. I haven't changed. This is not something that just came about. This has been going on for millenniums. All the way back in the book of Deuteronomy, God said a woman should not wear that which pertains unto a man, and a man should not wear that which pertains unto a woman. They had problems with it back then. Dennis Rodman's an idiot. These transgender idiots have no business. By the way, America needs to stand up to the public school system and tell them what to do with their new political stance. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before I let anybody, any boy, walk into the men's or ladies' bathroom when my daughter's in there or your daughter. Everybody doing okay? They're opening up the locker rooms the same way. I think it's just as wrong for a woman sports announcer to go into a man's locker room to interview guys in their underwear. What in God's name do we need to interview somebody in a bathroom for anyway? We've lost our mystique. Boy, that's good stuff. Okay. The Bible says that a woman's clothing's not supposed to be gaudy. I don't think the Bible teaches, ladies, that you shouldn't wear makeup or jewelry or shouldn't do your hair. That's not what 1 Timothy 2 is talking about. But when your hair and your jewelry become more important than pointing to your face, then it becomes gaudy and then it becomes wrong. Okay? Brother Hiles would have said, if the barn needs paint, put a coat of paint on it. Amen? But I don't think it ought to be so thick that nobody could tell what you are. By the way, the new zombie and goth styles is ungodly and it's worldly. Some of you are letting your kids play with things that they should not play with. My daughter grew up with dolls, but she never let her brothers or her dad see those dolls unclothed because it wasn't right. Everybody doing okay? Man, it's getting quiet and lonely up here. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's go to another topic real quick. Now you know the rest of the story. Good day. 1 Corinthians 11, and I am not going to have time to read this lengthy passage that I want to read. But 1 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 16, deal with hair. Okay, look at verse number 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, there is a man without a woman, neither the woman without the man and the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, by all things of God. Judging yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a, what's the next word? Covering. But if a man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now look at me. This is a chapter talking about hair, not hats. Okay, there's churches out there that said, well, a woman has to go to church with her head covered, so she's got to wear a hat. That's not in the Bible. It's talking about hair. This is a hairy chapter, not a hat chapter. Okay, it deals with hair, not hats. Okay, Zondervan Publishers and others that print their things and will use the word hat in there. It's not hat, it's hair. Nothing in there about a hat. A woman's hair is her covering. Now, let's use simple human logic for a moment. If God wants a woman's head covered, what is on the head? Okay, you have a neck, you have eyeballs, you have a nose, you have ears, and you have a mouth. It only makes sense not to cover your eyeballs because you can't see where you're going. Am I right? It doesn't make sense to have it stuck all the way down into your nose and your mouth because then you're chewing on it all the time and then you get fur balls in your belly and it's not healthy. Amen? But a woman's head is to be covered. That means, I believe, her hair ought to cover her ears and her neck. Okay? Scripturally. That's how, you say, how long is long? Covering the ears, covering the neck. Past that, you can have it as long as you want. Okay, everybody doing all right? It doesn't mean that it has to hit you in the back of the knees the rest of your life. But it does say that a man should be able to tell, and a woman should be able to tell, if you're a man or a woman, by any direction they look at you. Mrs. Lowther's down here smiling big at me. I was somewhere recently where they were, and I said, "We got a bearded woman here." She walked in, and she saw what she thought was a woman because it had hair down to here, and when it turned around, it had a beard on, and then she figured out it wasn't a bearded woman. It really was a man, we think. But it sure looked like a bearded woman. Scripturally, it's wrong, just so you know. Say why? Because the Bible says a man, in an effort to, if you read the first part of the chapter, in fellowship with God, should come to God with his head uncovered. Brother Barnes, no problem. You can't grow hair on top of that thing anyway. Brother Stoltz, yours is getting awful thin up there. He's about a five-hair hippie now. He just folds it from one side of the head to the other, back and forth. Now, wait a minute. Mine's getting there, amen. Shut up. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that a woman's head is to be covered. By the way, the new style of a woman shaving her head or cutting her hair off and hacking it off like a man isn't scriptural. Shaving it bald, cutting it short like a man is not scriptural. Okay? Keep your head covered, keep your ears covered, keep your neck covered. Past that, I'm not going to argue with you. Okay? But I'm just telling you what God's standard is. Fellas, I think you ought to keep your head uncovered. I believe you ought to have your ears exposed and your neck exposed. Okay? If you do that, okay, if your eyelashes are so long that they hang into your eyes, that's your problem. Or your eyebrows. Whatever those things are. Cross there. Keep your head uncovered. I think that you ought to wear a haircut like a man. You know, Mindy, stand up for a second. And then Josh, stand up beside her so she doesn't have to stand up by herself. No matter which direction you look at them, you can tell which one's the woman. It's Josh. I mean, okay. Have a seat. There's a difference. He saw that one coming. I wasn't going to do it, but he was like this the whole time. It's like, okay, it's coming. Wait a minute. You should be able to tell whether it's a man or a woman just by the hair. Just by the dress. My aunt, God bless her, my dad's sister, one time I heard her say, it's a shame we're at a point in America where you're not sure what a person is unless you check down their clothing to see what they are. There's a little bit of truth to that. It used to be you could say, well, just wait and find out which bathroom they use to find out what they are. But in California, you can't even tell by that anymore. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. And by the way, the long hair for fellas is coming back. I don't know why. Folks, the Bible says, but if any man seem to be contentious about this hair issue, we have no such custom. It's not saying that they didn't have a custom about men having short hair. It says they didn't have a custom about men being complacent about men having short hair. By the way, Jesus did not have long hair. I don't care how many Fruit Loops paint pictures of what they think Jesus looked like. He didn't walk around and wiggle when he walked like some effeminate little transvestite wimpo with long flowing hair. It has never been part of the Hebrew culture for a man to have long hair. Go to Israel right now, you don't see hippies walking around. Everybody doing okay? There's only two people in the Bible that had long hair, Samson and Absalom, Samson cut his hair every year, and Absalom died in rebellion, and his hippie hair got caught in a tree, and somebody killed him for it. One was part of a Nazarite vow, too. God made women and men different. I believe scripturally, God wants us different in how we dress. He wants us all covered. He does not want any of us naked. But God said a woman should not wear a man's clothes. By the way, it also says a man should not wear a woman's clothes. It's that simple. You draw your own conclusions. Come see me if you have questions. I'll answer them the best I can. I'm not walking around inspecting people. I just have an obligation by God to deliver the message of God and show you what God said about it. That's all it is. I'm not mad at you. Ladies, you say, that's the first time I ever heard it. Good. I'm not against that. I'm not angry with anybody. I want you to know what God said. You say, well, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not mad at you. I will tell you, your fellowship with God's going to be hindered. I've not labeled anybody, just so you know. I've just simply told you what God said. I'm not mad at anybody. But I have an obligation to tell you what the truth is. And don't get mad at me, but we're not going to have women in breeches playing the piano and playing instruments and getting up here singing. Not going to happen. By the way, we're not going to get our materials from places that do the same thing. We're not going to have Awana. Number one, Awana is not Baptist. It comes out of a church on the north side of Chicago. Number two, they're printing it in 7 different Bibles. Everybody doing okay? Well, it's a Christian organization in name only, making lots of money. You go to their website and look it up. There's not a woman in a dress in there. They're all wearing breeches. And yet we're training our kids with it. We're not. Some of the other Baptist churches are. I'm not. Say why? Because we're not going to bring that influence in. Shamefaced. Modest. Men, wearing breeches. Keep yourself covered. Cover your ugly, hairy legs. Amen. Cover them up. That's scriptural. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Again, this preacher is not mad at anybody. I have nobody in mind. I have no vendetta against anything. I just need to present the truth to you. I've tried to be plain. I've tried to be simple. I've tried to be direct. And I'll let you take it up with God on the rest. That's all I can do.